How long is your shadow? Let's talk about the village elder. Now, the village elder is not an elected position inside the community. The village elder is not an official position on the city council. The village elder is simply someone who is present inside of our communities. You know, when you were 10 years old, if I were to sit down with you, if I were to come over to your house and we were to sit and talk and I would and ask you, tell me about that person who was really important to you when you were 10 years old, 15 years old, 20 years old, you would tell me about your village elder. Your village elder was part of your family, maybe, or maybe was part of your church, or perhaps was your next door neighbor, or was part of the community. We are surrounded by village elders, and one of the things that is so important today is to say, we are surrounded by village elders right here and right now. We, many of us, are those elders. It doesn't have to be that you're old. I have met some village elders who are very, very young. I met a village elder once who was 5 years old. That little girl had more wisdom than I have ever met inside of a little one. And it was amazing. But I will tell you this. Years, time, maturity really help to create the village elder. I want to tell you about two village elders that were important in my life. The first was Ed. I was 14 years old. Ed was 86. Ed was my next door neighbor, just kitty corner. He was a professional gardener. He had never retired. He just kept working. And on that day in the summertime when he was 86, he walked a block down to my dad's office at the church and he said, my arthritis. I'm starting to get arthritis and I need help. Can I hire one of your boys? And my dad said, one of my boys? Heck, you can have all three. And Ed said, no, one boy is worth half a man. Two boys is worth nothing. And so on that day, I said, well, pick me, I'll do it. And I became half a man working with Ed. And on the morning that we started out, it was a beautiful sunny morning in July, and we walked together at 8 o'clock in the morning down two blocks to Bachmeyer's. And Bachmeyer's had a lilac hedge, half a block long, that had not been trimmed in decades. And so we started at one end, and down on our knees, we started clearing out and started working to make that hedge beautiful again. And Ed taught me. Now, one of the things that was so strange about Ed is that when you looked at his hands, every single one of his knuckles was bent. The top knuckle was at a 45 degree angle. Every single one of them was at the same angle. And I thought, how did he do that? Well, Ed had been a professional gardener for almost 70 years. And then I saw him take hold of a pruner for the first time, and his hands molded perfectly around those handles. Those handles had bent his hands to the work that he was doing, and this was the work that he was inviting me to do. He was inviting me to get bent knuckles. And so he began to teach me. I started at 90 cents an hour, and Ed taught me how to work hard for an honest day's wage. And Ed taught me how to sweat. And Ed taught me persistence, to keep going, the job isn't done yet. And Ed taught me joy, and Ed taught me laughter. And Ed taught me how to prune lilacs, and Ed taught me how to prune lawns, to trim lawns, and how to trim hedges, and how to trim elm trees, and ash trees, and spruce trees. Ed taught me the secret to Carrigana. Ed taught me so much. And Ed taught me how to talk to my customers. And Ed taught me honesty. Ed was my village elder. And I would not just meet him on the job. Ed was part of our church. And so as he grew older, he came to worship less and less, but he came to fellowship time more and more. Because that was the connection that he needed. And he taught me what a godly man looked like. Ed taught me. And the Gospel of Mark said, once there was a farmer who went out and sowed seeds. He went home, went to bed. The sun came up, the rain came down. The next day, the farmer went home and he went to bed. The next day, the sun came up and the rain came down. And lo and behold, with all of the nurturing that he did, all he had to do was to wait. And the crop grew. And he tendered it and nurtured it. And it came to harvest. And he harvested. This is the power of the village elder. If we were to ask every one of you, who was the village elder in your life? The one that gave, that taught you morals. The one that taught you work ethic. The one that taught you about family. The one that taught you and poured themselves into you. Who was the person that nurtured you? Because you were that growing seed. It wasn't just one. There were multiple people who poured themselves into you and nurtured you as you grew. We all have been the one on the receiving end of the village elder. But what is so powerful is that many of us have learned how to be the one that is the village elder, pouring ourselves into others. Not everyone. And those of us that are village elders, we can't help and we can't nurture everyone. It's select people. It's our grandkids or our children or our neighbors or that kid at school that we've taken interest in. We've learned. And what's happening is that, like Ed, we're being taught how to get bent knuckles. We're being taught what it means to be that village elder. This is crucial. But being a village elder is not a one-way street. It's not just those people that pour into us. There's also something that village elders receive. So we go into that passage in 2 Corinthians today. I love this verse. On the outside, we are wasting away. Anybody have more wrinkles today than you did last year at this time? Yeah. We're all growing older. Thank you, God, that we are all growing older. On the outside, we are wasting away. But on the inside, we are being renewed day by day. It was amazing to watch Ed. Edvard von Biedenfeld. He was German to the core, and that old man with all of his wrinkles and all of the problems that aging will bring, it was the funniest thing that when we were done working on a day, most days he went home younger in the afternoon than he had been in the morning. There was something about working with a 14-year-old boy, a 15-year-old boy, a 16-year-old boy that energized Ed. There was something about the relationship that we had in our work that made him feel younger. On the outside, we're wasting away, but on the inside, my dear village elders, we are being renewed day by day. Day by day. Is this you? I want this to be you. Let me tell you about Brother Bill. Brother Bill was a Lutheran pastor. He and I met when I was in my, I think mid-30s. And we were at a meeting together, and somebody said, hey, Brother Bill's birthday is coming up, and it's on this date. And I said, wait a minute, that's my birthday. Turns out, Brother Bill and I were almost to the hour exactly 50 years apart. And so when I met him when I was 36 or 37, and he was 86 or 87. And over the years, we just kept talking and we kept growing. And every year, he'd send me a postcard or a Christmas card. And the Christmas card was always the same, which was fantastic. It was the picture of him standing by his golf cart, waving his golf club in triumph on the golf course down in the Bahamas. He went there every year for decades. The last one that I got from him with that picture was when he was 101. He was amazing. He was a Lutheran pastor. Now, what I want you to see is this. By this time, I was a pastor. And I was growing and I was struggling and I was trying to mature. And here was another pastor who came up to me. The village elder does not just talk to us when we're 10 years old. The village elder meets us at any point. Today, as I am in my full adult maturity, I still listen to the village elders that are here in this church, in this community. You are never too old to have a village elder, because on the outside we're wasting away, but on the inside we're being renewed day by day. Day by day. This is the power. Now, what is that power? The power of this is that the village elder, especially in our Christian tradition, brings forth the kingdom of God in us. I learned about the kingdom of God from Ed. Because all Ed would do would say, let's go to work. And we'd sit and we'd talk. And then Ed would say these words. Now, Scott, I'll tell you. And that was the trigger. And then he would launch into an Ed story. Ed was born in 1888. And as I was growing with him, he told me stories. And Ed told me stories about skiing in Tsarist Russia in the Alps. Before the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, Ed had fallen in love with a Russian girl and was skiing in the Alps, and he told me the story, and Ed told me the story of traveling on a tramp steamer around the Rock of Gibraltar into the Mediterranean Sea and what it was like to be in those Spanish villages. And Ed told me stories of the Great Depression and World War I and World War II and being a father and being a grandfather. And Ed told me stories and stories. Now, Scott, I'll tell you. The result of that was not that I learned stories. The result of that was that I learned what it meant to grow to be a full adult man with the kingdom of God in my life. Because Ed was teaching me what it meant to be honest and godly. Ed was teaching me. And when I worked with Brother Bill, Brother Bill was all about the kingdom of God. It's not that he preached it, it's that he lived it. He lived it. And the last time I was with Brother Bill, at the meeting that we shared, he was the featured preacher. That dog was 101 and a half. He took his walker up, he set it by the podium, he grabbed both sides of the podium, and at 101 and a half, he let fly. And that dog could have preached in any pulpit, in any church in the United States that day. He was clear, and he was focused, and he had an entire century of experience in his life that he shared with us. A village elder brings forth the kingdom of God. The village elder knows about peace and justice and mercy. The village elder has not just learned it, they lived it. This is what I'm inviting you to do. I'm inviting you to be the village elder. And I'm inviting you, no matter how old you are, to learn from the village elder. And the day came when I was with Brother Bill and I said, I want to live to be over 100 also. And so I am watching old men, because I want to be an old man. And I want you to know that I am watching you because you are an old man. And his response to me was this: please do not call me old. You may call me older, but not old. That just so caught me by surprise. Here he was. He was 100 at that point in time in that conversation, and he was not old. He was just older than I was. This is the mark of a village elder who still is being renewed day by day and willing to share it with me. All right, are you ready, my friends? Now, here's what I know. The majority of you, as we have been talking about this, have had somebody in their mind. Now, what I'd like to ask is there one or two or three of you who would be willing to simply share with us a name and a story about your village elder? This morning, Shirley Dalton stood up in early worship and she said, "My village elder was my grandfather. He served in the Civil War. He shot his finger off. He was bitten by snakes. He knew he was raised in the Civil War in Missouri, where there was no food because of the. Oh my gosh. Who is the village elder in your life? Would you be willing to share that? I'll bring the microphone to you. All right, Odessa, here we go. I'm going to reach over you.
Oh, thank you. My village elder, we just celebrated her 100th birthday. And she was a lady that was raised in a ranch in Wyoming, out in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, just really just did everything that a ranch woman would be doing, and, you know, raising children and breaking horses, feeding the cows, doing whatever. And over time she came to live in the area that we're in Montana. And she was, you know, a very vibrant lady. This was when she was about 50. And in the last few years she's had to go into assisted living. And I think the thing that she's taught some of us the most was grace and acceptance in the position that you're in. Because she said she didn't want to leave her home. She hated to have to leave her cat and just doing things. But she said, "I'm very grateful to have a place to go and people that care about me." And it was just good.
Thank you, Odessa. What I want you to hear in that is that this village elder for Odessa is not the village elder for everyone. There is a circle with whom she has contact, and just the power and the experience of her life is a witness. Tell me about your village elder. Bob.
Probably my father. He helped settle the Rosebud Territory, which includes Mission, White River. And back in those days, I remember him telling me stories of how it was back in the days prior to automobiles. And I remember so many stories that he told me, but the ironic thing was that I didn't realize any of this until I came home from the service, and we spent one night in the house after I got back from Korea, and he told me the stories of the early days. And then I got to thinking back, and he was my hero. And then that was my dad. He helped settle the town of White River and probably part of the Rosebud Reservation.
Oh, Bob, thank you. What I want you to hear in this is that our heroes transcend politics. Our heroes transcend finances. Our heroes transcend age. It's more than all of that. It's what unites us, the seeds that are planted and the way that we are renewed. I have time for one more. Sue.
My village elder was Merle J. Woods. The J was for Jones. Her father was a carpenter and built the house that we ended up buying in Cheyenne. My father was in the Air Force, and so we moved about every year. One year when we were in Cheyenne and they had bought the house from Merle, I was attending an after-school program at our church, the EUB church it was, Evangelical United Brethren, not the Methodist at that time. And I accepted Christ in that program where Merle was the leader, and I knew her to be a friend to me. So when we moved back to Cheyenne, when my dad died, and I had just turned 11 years old, I turned to Merle for not only spiritual, but kind of psychological support. She was always there. We could go to her house in the afternoon and knock on the door, and she'd show us her flowers or her garden. At church, she was always the one who would help lead different groups that needed. She was big in the United Methodist Women after it became Methodist, and all those good things. But I always knew that she was there as a mentor, as a person who showed me what Christian living was about. It was find what needs to be done and do it. Share what you have with others. Love your friends. Love your enemies. Love everyone around you.
Sue, thank you. The funny thing is, when you're working with the village elder, and you would go to them and you would say, that was really special. And they would say, what are you talking about? Anybody would do that. That's just what we do. That's just how we live. That's just how we love. This is the invitation I'm giving to you. I want you to be the one who is capable of planting the seed in soil that is fertile, simply nurturing those that are around you. And I want you to be the one that is renewed day by day so that you can become the village elder for others and so that you can be receptive to the village elders around you. May it be in Christ's name. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord of love and Lord of life, we want to give you thanks for this day and the fact that we are surrounded by elders and we are the elders. And so, we ask that you would use us. In Christ's name, amen.